Hello, everyone, and welcome to Food Safety Matters, the podcast for food safety professionals. I'm Stacey Acheson, publisher of Food Safety Magazine, and I want to thank you for joining us for this special bonus episode of the podcast. Recently, our editorial director, Adrian Bloom, connected with Dr. Alyssa Welsher, associate senior consultant with Elanco Poultry Food Safety, to discuss integrated pest management programs in pre-harvest poultry operations. They cover this topic thoroughly, and there's a lot of great information for everyone in this space. So sit back, if you can, safety first, and enjoy. But before we begin, let's meet Dr. Welsher. Dr. Alyssa Welsher is associate senior consultant at Elanco Poultry Food Safety. Dr. Welsher received her bachelor's degree in biological sciences from the University of Pittsburgh and a master's degree in poultry science and doctorate in cell molecular biology from the University of Arkansas. Her area of expertise is molecular physiology, specializing in heat stress and gut health. Now, let's get to that discussion.
Well, I am here today with Dr. Alyssa Welsher, Associate Senior Consultant at Elanco Poultry Food Safety. And today we're going to be talking about integrated pest management in poultry pre-harvest food safety. So, Alyssa, we know that a comprehensive integrated pest management, or IPM, program is integral in the processing plant. Now, why is it so important to think about pests carrying foodborne pathogens further upstream at the farm level?
So Adrian, great question. I think a really big part of pre-harvest food safety has in the past revolved around vaccines, and that still is a major part of our pre-harvest food safety interventions. But kind of an often overlooked area centers around decreasing pathogen load that comes into the plant from things like vectors. And these are on-farm vectors, which are usually insects. They can be rodents. You know, kind of any of those pests that you see, you know, in and around a farm on a daily basis that maybe you don't really look at as something that's bringing in a foodborne pathogen. But in fact, these guys actually can bring in a pretty substantial salmonella, E. coli, campylobacter load without really a lot of us, you know, knowing it.
Well, okay. And so what types of pests are usually carriers of foodborne pathogens?
So there are a lot in poultry houses, kind of where we're focusing right now is really beetles. So darkling beetles, their true name is called the lesser mealworm. Flies, so your domestic house fly. Everybody kind of sees that guy floating around. And rodents, those are another big one, right? So mice and rats.
And so you spoke a little bit about this in your first question, but the pathogens that these pests bring into the poultry house, explain a little bit about the different kinds and how does that happen? Just the mechanism of, you know, how it gets from the pest to into the poultry.
Sure. So there's actually several different parasites and diseases that can be brought on by insects and rodents. Some that were implicated as reservoirs, some of these beetles and rats and flies, they actually are vector for numerous diseases. So I'll just list a few of them off here, but fowl pox, E. coli, Newcastle, Merrick's disease, Bursal disease, infectious bronchitis, coronavirus, avian influenza, salmonella, Imeria. There's quite a few. And then, you know, some turkey producers, you know, they deal with blackhead a lot. So there is a protozoa that actually causes blackhead disease, and we have seen it in chickens as well now. Beetles and flies, they've been known to actually carry that protozoa as well. So there really are a lot of these, you know, numerous poultry diseases that can show up as a result of insect and rodent-borne vectors. And they really, if you kind of look at what some of these vectors look like, you know, I'll take a fly, for example, they can land on fecal matter. And that fecal matter may contain salmonella, E. coli, you know, what have you. And flies, they're basically a little sensory machine. So when you look at a fly a little bit, you know, closer up than what we're normally used to looking at, they're covered in a lot of tiny sensory hairs. So they're all over their bodies, all over their legs. And these hairs will pick up and hold pathogens. Just like if you've ever seen a bee land on a flower, right? And then you can see how they pick up the pollen on their legs. It's very similar actually to what flies can do. So these pathogens will stick onto those sensory hairs and then basically be transferred wherever they land next, as well as, you know, if those flies are ingested by an animal. And you kind of get a same thing with the beetles. So they can carry these pathogens externally on their legs and bodies, but also internally through what they're actually eating in and around these, you know, poultry houses, swine barns, what have you.
Okay. Thanks for that background. So, you know, given that, why should producers consider an integrated pest management program as an important part of their food safety program?
Yeah. So really these IPMs or these integrated pest management programs, they usually address tough infestations. That's usually what has happened in the past. Most people, you know, they start to see a lot of beetles, you know, maybe bad enough where you're actually seeing the litter move and the floor looks like it's moving. Mm. And they think, okay, well, that's where I really do have an issue. Now I need to implement something. But part of a really effective IPM doesn't just address, you know, maybe a chemical use once it gets to that level. A lot of it really starts with management and, you know, what can you do before you actually have to use those chemicals? So a lot of it is centers kind of around maintenance. So if you walk into we'll use a poultry house, for example, you know, you want to make sure your litter is not too deep, that, you know, you are doing cakeouts, you are doing maybe like windrowing. You know, we reuse litter a lot now in the industry, and that's completely perfectly fine. But just making sure that you are actually rotating out some of that litter and you're not just piling it up and making it deeper and deeper. If you're looking outside of a house or a swine barn, let's make sure that the grass area is mowed back, just so that you do have a little bit better of a barrier between maybe where, you know, rodents would like to roost, where you would have insects living just in large patches of grass. Potentially those areas are muddier as well, which flies love to lay their eggs in wet environments. And so that's just also harboring, you know, kind of an area for insects there. If you look out of the back of where your exhaust fans your ventilation fans for your house, a lot of that gets dust and feathers and litter. It all gets kind of sucked out. And then it lands, it almost creates a slurry in the back of a house. So you also want to make sure that's kind of cleaned up, because that is basically organic material that is ripe for the eating of a lot of these insects. So, you know, things like that, you really want to start with that first. And then if you still are having these, you know, these really complicated issues where you're having a lot, you definitely want to make sure you're using a chemical as well. You know, we would recommend rotating the chemical every, you know, 6 months or so. You kind of want to make sure that you're not using the same one, the same chemical class. You really want to make sure that you're, when you are using these chemicals, since we only have within poultry, we only have 4 chemical classes we can use now. So we don't lose any of those chemical classes. We need to make sure that we rotate them and that they don't become, they don't allow for a resistant population to develop. So that would be kind of how I would list an IPM. Is really you want to kind of go management in addition to those chemicals, but really you need to start out with good management of those farms and then have that nice rotational program of chemicals. I would also say that, you know, a lot of people, especially consumers, I think when you look at the food safety space, we're really trying to, we think of it as keeping pests out of places like restaurants, kitchens, you know, processing plants, things like that. And, you know, if we kind of take a few steps back, we realize that, you know, that food safety, you know, keeping these insects and rodents out of places like farms actually kind of begins that whole food safety process, where if we're decreasing the amount of vectors that come in to the houses that, you know, have the potential to spread any of these poultry diseases, that we can reduce that load that then goes into the plant. And then, that ends up on carcasses. So that's kind of, you kind of want almost back up to the farm level there on that live side. Really what I would say too is, in addition, you just want to make sure that, you're really looking at the big picture of how we're using the IPM. So if you walk into one of your houses and you see that there's, insulation damage, or you see that, there's a lot of insects that tend to be on, the sidewalls or in the center of the aisle, that you have an issue and, you want to try to address that. Now, that can be presented in different ways, as I've mentioned before. I think big indicator that you have a beetle problem is damage to the insulation, which then, makes your barn or your house way less efficient. Energy efficiency decreases, especially if you have something like a sill sealer. So if you have concrete floors in your barn, a sill sealer is basically between the footer and the bottom plate. And what beetles will do actually to this, the larval stage, will actually destroy this in about 2 rotations. So very quickly destroyed. And this leaves a gap around the perimeter of your house, which is just another opening for not more insects, but also rodents as well. And there's also a lot of more modern poultry houses have vapor barriers as well. The larval stage of beetles will actually chew right through this as well, and that causes leaks in that vapor barrier. So again, reducing that energy efficiency. And even litter sometimes with beetles. If you're really in a house and you're really looking around the food, like the feed pans, you'll see, some of this litter is almost chewed up to a point where it looks like sand. And so what that's doing is that's really decreasing the absorptive capacity of the litter. And so you're kind of even having, a decrease in efficiency to the point of that your litter is not actually doing its job. There's so many things that go into really controlling these vectors, and really making sure that your IPM is targeted at, the right species, that they're targeted during the right time. So life cycle stage, adult beetles will be susceptible to insecticides, and so will the larval form, but they do have an egg form and they do have a pupal form. And those two forms are basically resistant to insecticides. So you really want to make sure that, you're monitoring those populations, and that usually through a rotational program, you will hit most of those populations to keep them under control. But you kind of do have to really look to see, are you seeing more larval stages? Are you seeing more adult stages? And then start to kind of do beetle surveys and things like that, just to really get a good idea of what your house is actually showing you.
Yeah, so that's some great guidance you outlined. And, in addition to all these different strategies for an IPM, what are some other, just general ways that you would say producers can minimize the spread of pathogens and disease from pests across their farm?
Sure, yeah. So, I mentioned earlier about walking kind of around houses and really looking at your house. A big way to reduce this is, cleaning out your houses. You want to make sure that, most growers are very good at this. Most service techs are on top of this. Walking houses, making sure that there's no additional organic matter to feed on, right? So there's less food for these pests. Picking up dead birds, cleaning up any feed spillage, making sure that any water lines that may have broken are fixed, and that wet litter is removed and replaced with dry litter. Things like decaking a house. beetles tend to really like moist caked litter. What you want to do is you really want to cake out that house before you even would apply an insecticide, because what happens is that cake can actually prevent, almost act as a barrier between that insect and the insecticide. So you really want to make sure that, even things like that saves you time, it saves you money, in the long run, because you want to make sure that what you're applying is effective. And there's also, other things, just like keeping your houses dry, right? So flies, like as I mentioned, they love wet, moist, dark areas. And that's where they tend to lay their eggs. Their larvae live in those areas. So really making sure that your waterers are working well, they're not overflowing, they're not leaking, and that, you know, your ventilation in the house is well-placed. You also want to make sure that, you know, when you do apply those insecticides or rodenticides to directly control that population, that you're making sure that your, as I mentioned earlier, maintenance is kind of underhand, right? You've already done you've mowed the grass around the houses, you've cleared out any of that slurry in the back of where the fans are. And you want to make sure that, you know, your management within the house, the birds are, any dead birds are removed, any organic matter besides what needs to be there is taken out. And that really, you know, your ventilation is great. And then once you have all of these things in a row, you know, you look at your insecticide or your rodenticide use. And what you want to do then is look to see what your population of insects looks like. So you want to say, if I have a really high level, you know, where am I going to apply the insecticide at that level? And, you know, most of your allied partners or your applicators are going to help you with that. The applicators know how to spray a house, whether they need to fog a house, whether they need to do a banded application. And they definitely will help any producer with any of these problems. What you really want to look for is if you're seeing beetles in the center of a house or up the sidewalls, it usually means you have a problem. Beetles love to be underneath the feed pans for obvious reasons, right? The feed is right there for them to eat on, and they're not really getting trampled on by birds. So they're in a good area. They tend to stay where they're at, but they will spread out if there's a high population of them. So what you want to do is then if you see that, you want to make sure that if you are applying an insecticide and birds are present, that label indicates that you are allowed to apply while animals are present. There are some where you can actually apply directly onto the animal. So, you know, I know the cattle industry uses a lot of spray-on applications. Poultry industry has a few. A lot of them are for you know, mite infestations or things like that, right onto the actual bird. And then there are some that are only premise sprays. There are some that are in-house, but only when animals are absent. So we just have to really pay attention to kind of the label claims and just making sure that, you know, we're applying these insecticides correctly. And that we are, again, you know, I might drive this home a little bit more, but we are rotating. Rotating is just such a key in insecticides and just maintaining that we have the availability of all of these chemicals to keep using and that we are actually able to, you know, not develop any of these resistant populations in beetles or flies, as well as rodents.
Mm-hmm. And so looking at application of insecticides and rodenticides and the importance of rotating and things like that, when do you ever experience resistance issues or other concerns with certain products? And if so, you know, what can producers do to reevaluate their IPM if they are seeing resistance issues? And, you know, what is the best way to manage that if that is occurring?
So I would say that, you know, there's resistance issues with chemical classes mainly, right? If they're not properly managed. I always tell people when I go in and I do any type of an insecticide training, when you're looking at your insecticide, you know, don't look at the active ingredient, look at the chemical class, because the active ingredient can sometimes, you know, that'll be different. And you'll look and you'll say, oh, these two, like the active ingredient's different, 100% I've rotated. And then you actually look at the chemical class and they tend to be the same chemical class. So what you want to rotate by is chemical class. All labels will have that chemical class on it. So if you stick with just reading on the label and you stick with rotating by chemical class, you'll be good to go. And, you know, it really is the best way to manage that resistance is to rotate, you know, so that you don't build up resistance. But also some of these chemicals tend to be a little bit stronger than others. And so if you're having a high population, you know, if you've been rotating, usually what people do is they're going to put their stronger chemicals during certain times of the year. There's either, you know, a high fly population or a high beetle population. And then based off of that, that's kind of where they set their rotations into place, where they're using a stronger chemical where they tend to be a little bit heavier populations. And then they use maybe follow with a weaker chemical to kind of maintain that control. And so, you know, we really want to make sure that, you know, while you guys are rotating and while you guys are doing this, that again, you know, you're rotating by those chemical classes, and you're not helping to kind of, you know, aid in that resistant population. But if you do start to see a resistance issue, or you believe that there's a resistance issue, we can conduct what's called beetle sensitivity testing. So what this happens is we would go out, we would collect some of these beetle populations from the houses, complexes, you know, wherever you are seeing the issue. And then what happens is these then are sent off to a lab where they do a sensitivity testing dependent on the four chemical classes that there are available to poultry producers. And this will then give them a good idea as to what chemical population that population is currently sensitive to. And it can also actually indicate which chemical class to move to next. So that will usually be advised by the applicator or the allied partner, whoever's providing the insecticide products. And so really what you'll do is you'll get basically a printout sheet from the lab, and it'll show you the percentage of mortality of the beetles over a certain time period. And sometimes it's, you know, you'll have 100%, or sometimes you'll have 80%, or, you know, 50%. And so you just basically would say, okay, the highest percentage that I have that effectiveness, that mortality, that's the one I'm going to switch to, because that's the one that's actually affecting this population the best. And then you would then rotate to the second and the third and so on, best percentage that you got off that sheet. And, you know, like I mentioned, you know, that's definitely a question that your applicators know, and your allied partners definitely understand as well. So if there's any questions on that, I just always advise people to really reach out to those people and connect with them, and they'll help you in any way they can.
Okay, really interesting information. So how does Elanco's food safety team help poultry producers with developing one of these IPM programs to address food safety concerns?
So Elanco offers a wide selection of insecticides. We actually have the largest portfolio currently for insecticides. We contain all four classes, chemical classes. So those are the spinosins, the neonicotinoids, the pyrethroids, and the organophosphates. We really like to kind of, you know, let people know that we do have them, but that there are other companies that, you know, you can go to and you can also rotate. Just again, making sure that we're all rotating these chemical classes, just to maintain those healthy populations. And we can also help to collect beetles for sensitivity testing. And we can help to train, as I mentioned earlier, some service techs or personnel for producers who are applying these insecticides on application, rotation, biology of pests, really all of those management tools I mentioned before, you know, mowing the grass, trying to find where some of these vectors actually hide or where they breed, and trying to remove those sources. And then we do have, you know, a whole food safety team to reach out to. So, you know, we have myself, we have two people who have been in production for a very long time in kind of the food safety and insecticide space. We have, you know, a whole team of people really kind of ready to help with really whatever you all would need for your IPM strategies.
Okay, great. So tell us, where can our podcast listeners learn more about Elanco and its solutions for developing one of these IPM programs?
So listeners can visit our webpage. It's elancopoultry.com/insecticides. And they can kind of browse all of those products that we do have to offer. If they know myself, they can contact me, Alyssa Welsher, or Dale Fuller, who, as I mentioned, you know, he's one of our sales guys. He's been in production for a while and, you know, has been in allied industry for a while. He understands these things like the back of his hand. Patrick Purrier is also, he's new to our team. And he's also he's on the Eastern Coast and ready to go with our food safety team. And we can always speak in more detail about how to set up an IPM program with food safety in mind to help monitor it as well. So we start from, you know, pre-harvest on the insecticide front and the vaccine front, and we can help even, you know, kind of going in towards the plant as well. And just kind of, you know, we have people who are FSQA can help on that side as well. So we want to offer really kind of that full food safety package if we can to any of our clients.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Alyssa, for sharing all this great information and very important information about integrated pest management with our podcast listeners today.
Thank you, Adrian. I appreciate it.
Thanks again to Dr. Welsher for this informative discussion and Elanco Animal Health for sponsoring this episode. You can find more information about Elanco's integrated pest management solutions in the show notes of your podcast player or on the episode page on our website, food-safety.com. We hope that you enjoyed this special episode of Food Safety Matters, and we'll talk to you soon.